Well, good morning, Faith Community Church.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to you men that are fathers. I count that a high privilege. I get to be a father of three and then a grandfather of five, and we've got a few that decided to show up today because they want to honor me, and so I'm grateful for that. So my name is Glenn Hirschberger, and we're going to continue with the summer series called Real You and Real God, and I hope by the end of today, you'll get a little better glimpse of who this real God is, which will help you become more of what God intends for you to be. So really the real you. And I think a lot of times people just struggle with the identity and this wrong idea of God and his character. And so that creates stumbling blocks in trusting God and actually moving forward with him. And so that's why we dig in God's word. That's why we gather on Sunday to learn a little bit more about God. But really at the end of today's message, something I want to encourage you to know God in a real way. And so King David wrote this psalm, and he knew something about being a shepherd. And so when he's writing this psalm, he is taking it from the vantage point of the sheep, ascribing great appreciation to the shepherd. It's a wonderful statement about how these sheep feel about their shepherd. We're going to look at this very popular scripture, in fact, when the Bible talks about us as sheep. Can you identify with that? I mean, some of you are really goofy. And I would say that I'm really goofy. But really, this psalm in particular is in the top 25. It's actually second of the top 25 passages. And there's over 500 references in the Bible about sheep. And many of them are referring to, well, hello, us people as sheep. And that's not necessarily a good thing, as you'll find out. So when we read this Psalm 23, I would like you this morning to take this perspective of this is one animal boasting about their shepherd. So if you have your Bible, turn to page 458 in the Bibles in front of you. If you have your smartphone, you can turn to that. Let me open up in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to open up your word this morning. Father, we know that it's truth. It's got power and authority. And so, Lord, as we look at a very popular psalm, I pray that there be a freshness and new insight that maybe we would walk away with application this morning. What an honor it is to serve my church in this capacity. I pray you get all the honor and glory. I pray that you're delighted. And I pray that we'd be attentive to learn more about our good shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start in verse 1, and I'll read it through to 6. You can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. It begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something about his character. I should understand something about his ability. And if Jesus is this good shepherd that we're going to talk about today, then the question this morning is, why wouldn't I follow him if he really does care for me and he does care for you? And so in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The only God, the only shepherd, the only Lord. That's a very important word. And Lord, it's this idea of lordship, authority, submission. The sheep is saying, "The Lord, you are my Lord." In fact, the next word is. It's a present tense. It's not some future thing. It's not some abstract idea. It's like, the Lord is, and then it goes on to say my. That's personal. There's ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. And it goes on. It says, "I shall not want." Now, that's in reference to being satisfied, not rejecting the shepherd. You find out that the sheep can reject shepherds, but the sheep also know that they need to be cared for. They're completely dependent on the shepherd. And this poem recounts the manner in which the good shepherd spares no cost, no pains for the welfare of his sheep. Sheep do not take care of themselves. They're incapable of that. They require endless attention and meticulous care. In fact, more than any class of livestock, They cannot take care of themselves. So in verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Well, what is that in reference to? It's the shepherd goes ahead and prepares. In biblical times, the shepherd would go into the hills and find grassy spots and remove stones and clear the brush so the grass and the vegetation could grow, so the sheep could graze. By the way, sheep eat 8 hours a day. They're constantly eating. I drive past this farm south of Menominee, and they've got hundreds of sheep. And I would say of hundreds of sheep, maybe there's a half a dozen where they're looking up. Every time I've driven by, they're looking down, eating, and they constantly eat. By the way, have you ever heard of someone being attacked by a sheep? I mean, it's not in action adventure movies. It's not even in chick flicks. You just never see this because they're incapable of doing that. They don't have anything to attack you with. What do? They can only run away. They're completely helpless. In fact, they're timid. They're feeble creatures. They're very vulnerable. And when they feel vulnerable, they don't lie down. They only lie down when they basically trust what's going on. And that's an issue, not in our modern day, but back then it was an issue. Because if sheep are not fed and watered and the parasites out of their nose and where they don't trust, they don't sleep. And if they don't sleep because they're, what are they doing all night? Bah, I thought you'd fall right into that. And then they're going to keep the shepherd awake. So there's great care to settle down these sheep. In the Christian's life, there's no substitute for the absolute awareness of my shepherd close by or nearby or in close proximity. There's nothing like Christ present to dispel fear and panic and anxiety of the unknown. Knowing and accepting the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has our best interest at heart all the time. Our best interest all the time. And when we learn to be secure in his care, we have confidence in him. Now, I said this in the first service. If I mention my kids by name, I have to give them $5. I'm not going to mention them by name. But when they were in high school, I told my kids that I'm not your friend. I am not your friend. I'll be your friend some other time. But right now, I'm a parent because I have your best interests at heart. Your friends do not have your best interests at heart. Can I hear an amen? And our Heavenly Father has our best interest at heart all the time. I don't even have my own best interest at heart all the time because I'm a sinner and I'm wayward. Americans have become very anxious people. Like, we are like number one in the world. And many young people today, they're dealing with high levels of anxiety and stress. And friends, I just wonder if it's the price that is being paid, quite frankly, when we're separated from his presence, when we're not abiding in Christ and connected to him in fellowship. In Psalm 23, 2b, it says, he leads me beside still waters. You know, sheep are so afraid, by the way, so afraid that if you had a bottle of water and you shook it like this by a sheep, they'd scatter. Because it's the sound of that that startles them. And so it says that the shepherd's going to bring me to a place where the water is resting, or it's not moving, or it's still waters. No, not still water. Still waters. In Christ, the good shepherd made it clear that thirsty souls of men and women can only be satisfied when their thirst for spiritual life is fully content on surrendering to him. I just know that the world is upside down and we're not satisfied with life. And I think many people in the world are just not satisfied with life because they're not satisfied in Christ. Fully content by surrendering. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Just go like this. Ah. It's this idea like, life is good. It's contentment. And as we're leaning into God, only he can truly give us satisfaction. To drink, it's a spiritual terminology that means to take in or to accept or to believe. St. Augustine summed it up this way. He said, O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find their rest in thee. So it continues in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Friends, I know that the soul can get bruised and battered and crushed. Some of you maybe this morning feel that way, that quite frankly, you just need some soul care. You need some gauze. You need some Neosporin on your soul. You feel a little nicked up, maybe even a little wounded. And you can't say, you really honestly can't say, oh, it is well with my soul. Our great shepherd wants your soul to be well. That word restores or turns my soul. I'll give you an example. You ever exercise in the heat, summer heat, or you're lawn mowing or whatever, and you just overexert and you're overheated and you just feel a little lightheaded, so you have to go into a cool air-conditioned room and get a nice big glass of water, and you take a sip of that, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm coming back. You ever do that? Well, that's what that word restore means here. It's the meaning of that. You kind of you return to yourself. So when we talk about the real you, God wants you to restore to the real you that he created. He goes on, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, the hills of Israel, you'll see paths where the sheep and the goats meander. There's not a straight roadway. They don't graze in a line. The path meanders. But there must be a predetermined plan of action to rotate the sheep from field to field, because guess what happens? The sheep will decimate the field. They'll eat the food, the greenery, the vegetation down to the ground. And so the shepherd knows that. The shepherd knows where to go. That's what David had in mind in this passage. And it says he guides or he leads. I think it's a lie that we need to straighten out our lives. Like if I took a poll right now, don't raise your hand, but if I took a poll, are you even capable of straightening out your own life? Now I'm going to pick on the youth, but I remember being 20s, and I thought I had it all together. Like I thought I knew, but now I'm in my 50s, and I go, oh man, did I not know anything? And I also know that I needed other people to help me get through this life. That's why you have a local church, Body Life. You cannot get through this. You cannot get through this earthly life in isolation or alone. And God never intended that for us. So he guides us. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I see that on the daily news. Everyone's doing what they feel is right in their own eyes. Are we pausing and saying, Lord, what do you want for my life? Because you gave me breath. You gave me life. We insist that we know what's best for us, even though there's disastrous results that are awake behind us. I see that all the time. I see that all the time. And it's tragic. Now, my wife and I are amazing race fans. We just like that show. I think we live vicariously through their travels, and we've been to some of those locations, and, you know, it's kind of wholesome for the most part, you know. But a couple weeks ago, we're watching the show, and, you know, they're racing. They're competing against each other to get to the next destination. And so this couple that's in the lead, they get in the car, and they start driving. They have no idea where they're going, but the car behind them thinks they know where they're going. And then the car that's leading thinks, we must be going the right way because someone's following us. Well, they get down the road, and then finally, you know, they stop and ask for directions. They're going in the completely opposite way. Friends, I'm telling you, that happens today, and it's played out on a daily basis. People just, well, I'm going to follow this. And towards the end, they go, ooh, I should have done a U-turn. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, righteousness is straight, it's narrow. It says, he guides me in paths. You know, life is not a straight path. Have you found that, church? Come on, give me some yeses. You don't always know where it's going to lead. 35 years ago, the only reason why I became a police officer is a couple of things. I wasn't smart enough to be a doctor, and I didn't want to go to jail. And so I thought, well, I'll just do this. But then, you know, dozen years later, God's leading me into being a pastor, and then missionary, and then this. And then if you'd asked me 4 years ago, you're going to move to Hudson, I'm like, what? I live in Orlando. It's been a brutal couple of winters, hasn't it, church? It's all good. The point of following the Good Shepherd is that you don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know where you're going. You just follow where the shepherd's leading. You just follow where the shepherd's leading. And there's great freedom and liberty in that. And the person who decides to do what God asks him or her has moved on to this fresh ground which will bear fruitful lives. That will bear fruit. There'll be a byproduct, a positive thing. And the phrase, his namesake, it speaks of reputation of his nature, his renown, to elevate Christ above all other name. You know, shepherds have a reputation, just so you know. Going to the watering hole, they're looking at the flock, and you're like, oh, look how dirty that is. You know, they talk. By the way, I am a pastor to pastors, so I talk to pastors all the time about you all. Not you, but you. And I hear the burdens and the cares and all that. Are we given our very best to give God all the glory and honor? And I can tell you that the Good Shepherd has never led me astray. He's never led me astray, and he's always provided for me. He's always faithful. He's never abandoned me. And I'll tell that to anyone. He's so faithful. You know who's not faithful from time to time? Give me your thumbs. Go like this. Give me your thumbs. And go like this. I'm glad you didn't go like this. I would have felt really self-conscious. Yeah, thank you, Larry. Thank you. It says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now it shifts. This passage shifts. And it addresses the shepherd directly. It's personal pronouns, I and you, enter the conversation. It becomes this intimate dialogue of deep affection. I will fear no evil. You are with me. Most of the time, the shepherd keeps the sheep on the side of the hill. But sometimes they got to go to the valley to get to the other side. And there's danger there. There's enemies. There's obstacles. And the only way the sheep can make it across is that the shepherd is there, because they don't walk by sight. They walk by hearing you and looking at the shepherd. And they don't look up. They follow by hearing. You know the word walk? It's to live. Life is about living. It's action-oriented. It's not idleness. It's not stationary. You just, you know, sometimes I think Christians think, well, I'm just going to pray and it's going to happen. That is not reality. You still have to keep moving. You still pray? Yes, you have to pray. It doesn't say that I'm going to die there. It doesn't say I'm going to stop there. It says I walk through it. I walk through it, and I'm never alone. We talk about the Christian life. I have brothers in Christ that say, how's your walk going? I know what they mean. Am I still fully devoted to Christ? Am I being obedient? Am I in the Word? Am I praying? How am I treating my loved ones? And then it talks about shadows. And the shadows can't hurt you if the Lord is your shepherd. There's shadows out there. There's darkness out there. But death. Now, that's reality. None of us are going to escape that. It's coming for us. And we don't know the day or the hour, but it's coming. But this death is also the separation from the Good Shepherd. Like, you're not going to be with the shepherd. And for the child of God, death is not an end. It's just a door to a higher, more exalted life of intimate fellowship with God. I can't wait to go. I am prepared to go, but I don't want to go yet. You know, I've got granddaughters. I'd like to be, you know, their pastor. I'd like to marry them off, and that's years down the road. But if God called me home today, I know that I'm ready, and I know where I'm going. The child of God, this isn't the end. You're never alone. You're never abandoned. And the awareness of his presence, by the way, cancels fear. There's a lot of fear out there. It says, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why is that? It says in the next verse, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is an extension of the shepherd's right arm. It's a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority. In any serious situation, it speaks of discipline, defense of danger. It's also in reference to God's word. We need to be in God's word. And the staff is a long, crooked-ended big stick, and you bang it on the ground on the rocks, and the sheep hear that. They understand that, and they begin to follow. Most sheep, when they hear that, will turn around and follow the shepherd. Most sheep will turn around. However, there are some that are so distracted by that lush vegetation, they're like, okay, Yeah, I'm not coming right away. So what does a shepherd have to do? Got to poke him in the backside. Come on, follow me. I'm going to get your attention. They know what you want, and then they get back in line. I wonder how many of us ignore God's promptings. It's kind of, hey, talking to you. What are you going to do? What's your decision on this? By the way, in the absence of a shepherd, the sheep will follow a goat. Goats are not pleasant animals. When there's an absence of strong, moral, principled leaders, strong goat voices take over. Are you seeing that in the world today? You know, sometimes we get direction from the staff, sometimes we get correction from the staff. And that staff, that word speaks of long-suffering and kind. The good shepherd staff, there's kindness in that. There's compassion in that. And do you know one sheep, when one sheep goes into a crevice, do you know what the next sheep does? Goes in the crevice. And the one behind that goes in the crevice. Back in 2005, there were 1,500 Turkish sheep that followed one sheep off a cliff. All 1,500 died. And it was a big deal in this village because, quite frankly, it wasn't owned by one person. It was multiple families. That was their livelihood. I wonder how many of us wreck our lives because we're following the wrong person. I can tell you, 20 years of being a pastor and 24 years in law enforcement, you know, I would hear this story repeatedly. Yeah, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and now I have a drinking problem. Or, yeah, I was abused, and now I'm dealing with that in my own life. Many times we become what we hate, and we go right into the crevice of life, and somehow we think it's going to be different for us, like where it's not going to happen to us, like it won't wreck our life. But many times it does. And by the way, Christians, none of us are immune. I always say I am one bad decision from driving my car in the ditch. Just one decision. And I need body life. I need accountability. I need brothers that are asking me tough questions. For the sheep, the staff gives correction and direction, but sometimes it gives rescue. It rescues us from the crevice. You know, when sheep wander off, the shepherds are going to go on a rescue mission. And if the sheep is totally disobedient and rebellious, then the shepherd has no choice but to break a leg. And over time, shepherd is renewing that sheep, carrying the sheep, mending it, feeding it, nursing it back to health. And after that has happened, the sheep will not leave the shepherd ever again. It's pretty powerful stuff, church. Verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The good shepherd goes ahead of us in situations. We're going to experience valleys. That's a guarantee, every one of us. You're either entering a valley, or you're just coming out of a valley, or you're in the valley. And the good shepherd goes ahead. It says, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, it's interesting. Sheep are pink-skinned, goats are dark-skinned, and sheep are susceptible to headaches in the heat, in the summer heat. And so what does the shepherd have to do? The shepherd has to put a little oil and massage the head just to settle that goat down. And I read a story where the shepherd said this. It said, "They don't need me, the sheep, to take the pain away. They just need the shepherd to know that they have pain. And just by communicating that, the sheep relax." I think that's powerful. My cup overflows. In biblical times, keeping the cup full for the guests at a meal was a sign that they were welcome to stay. A half-full cup was a sign that the guests were wearing out their welcome. Have you ever done that? I have. Like, okay, see their empty glass, it's time to go. But that would be rude, wouldn't it? You can't just say, okay, get out of here. My cup overflows. It's this idea that there's comfort upon comfort. It means that you're welcome to stay. It's extended by the good shepherd. He knows when I'm not comfortable. He knows when I'm upset. He knows that I'm troubled and anxious and worried. And when we walk with the good shepherd during these times, we are comforted. Because you know what he does? He brings real people to come alongside you, to talk words of grace, encouragement, don't give up. I've talked so many people off the cliff. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. And then you know what? I've had good buddies come down to Panama. Don't jump off the cliff. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you have had that testimony where God pursued you. Like even some of you today may be hearing this. It's like, yeah, I think God's speaking to me. And you're doing your thing, and God interrupts your life, and he knocks on your door, and he says, what are you doing? Where are you going? Your life is unmanageable. And over time, you consider the claims of Christ. And Jesus doesn't wait until we get our life together, friends. Your life was a mess. And maybe some of you could say today, yeah, my life's a mess right now. And Jesus stood in the way and said to you, I want to help you. I can lead you. I can save you. I'll leave the 99 sheep for you. In fact, Matthew 18:12 in the parable that Jesus says, he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one that went astray? Friends, I'm telling you, I think some today you need to hear that the good shepherd is after you. You're lost. You're wandering. And he wants to bring you back into the fold. Verse 6, it says, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A shepherd brings the sheep to the side of the hill and puts rocks around it to contain them and thorny sticks. It's called a sheepfold. And guess who the door is? The door is the shepherd. You get that imagery? Jesus says he's the door. If you knock on his door, he'll open it and he'll let you in and you can dine with him. So think about what Psalm 23 is. It's the words of the sheep about a heavenly shepherd that knows that we need him and he cares for us deeply. Friends, Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In my years, in my limited time on this planet, I am telling you that there's so many people following the goats of the world and they have been led by the goats of the world and they're not following the good shepherd. And friends, it's more than knowing about God. It's personal. It's a relationship. It's up close. It's intimate. It's mutual. So I need to ask you a serious question as we turn the corner to end this morning. It's going to be on the slide. Who is your good shepherd? In the quietness of the moment, who is your good shepherd? And do you know this good shepherd that we're talking about today? And following the good shepherd takes action on your part. It takes initiative. You need to surrender as such, and it's a decision on your part. You know, at Faith Community Church, we talk a lot about meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so I want to address four types of people as we close today that may be here this morning. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be way out of your comfort zone. So Larry, thanks for making everyone stand. That was warm up, but we're in training. I think the first category is you don't know his voice. You're sitting there, you've been coming, or maybe this is your first time, but you don't know his voice. And deep down, you know that you're being led astray. Deep down, you know that he's not your good shepherd. And you're sensing that Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Don't delay. Come to me. Come meet me. Meet the good shepherd for the first time. And Jesus says, I accept you. I forgive you. All is welcome into my house. I love you. And I want you in my house forever. Jesus says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's you and me. That's what he accomplished on the cross. I can't die for you, nor would I. I'd die for those grandbabies, probably. But Jesus died for you. But that's just part of it. You have to believe that. You have to know that. You have to receive that. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses as unsaved. In John 14:6, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth. This is the truth. And this is not only this life, but it's eternal life. And no one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven. No one comes to the Father without going through Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the good shepherd, you will be saved. So here's your invitation today. I love weddings. I was at a wedding last Saturday. Everyone stood up. I perform wedding ceremonies, countless. Everyone stands up. 35 years ago, I stood up. I looked at this beautiful bride in my eyes, and I said, I do. I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to receive you. You know what the interesting thing is? It was in front of a lot of witnesses that I never met. They're all Chicago people. I didn't know any of them. I never saw them again in my life. But I didn't care. I stood up anyway because I was devoted. I was committed. So I want to encourage you today to stand up, to receive Christ, to meet him for the first time. Now here, we're going to do this in a very sensitive way. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their head. So it's a personal, intimate moment. This is between you and your good shepherd. This is not about anyone in the room. But as I've been praying for this moment, I truly believe that some in here need to stand and say, I receive you, Christ. So if that's you, please stand right now, and then I'm going to pray. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Don't leave here without knowing him. And again, I know that we are North Americans, Northern, German, Swedish, Norwegian, so standing up is risky. But it's okay. You can stay seated. I'm going to just pray a prayer for you. And please, if you're praying this prayer for the first time, please, after the service, come up to the prayer people. Go to the Connection Center. We don't go through this life alone. We want to help you. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you that you are proof of the risen Savior, the Good Shepherd. I acknowledge that you died for my sins. I've been wayward, but I want to come and ask you to be my shepherd, to surrender my life to you. Lord, leaving the 99 seems crazy until you're the one, and I think there's one or two or a dozen or even 100 that need to do this. Receive me, accept me. Thank you for all that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the second category, and by the way, I saw that. I saw you. Thank you for standing. You're not off all the hook. I'm a rent-a-pastor today. I'll be back next Sunday, but then who knows after that. Second category is this. You follow the good shepherd in life, but now your focus has been distracted. There's many voices out in the world. You've been a little wayward. You know that you've been wayward. You know that you've been far from God. You're not feeling that intimacy with him. Yeah, at one point you began to follow Jesus, but you're still leading yourself, and you know who you are. You think you've got things under control, but you're not following like you know you should. So that's the category. I think some in here are sensing that God is saying, come back to me. There's new mercies every day. Come back. And you want to make a rededication or a renewal focus back to the Good Shepherd, and you can start that journey today with the Good Shepherd. Would you stand if you fit in that category? Would you stand? Thank you. And I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? Thank you. That's awesome. God's so pleased with you. So pleased. Let me pray for you. Father God, we so easily get wayward, and we follow the voices of the goats, and we know there's a good shepherd that cares for us. Would you be with these people that are proclaiming their recommitment, their refocus, really their realignment to you? Lord, bless them. And I pray they come up and they go to the connections and we help them. We help them take these next steps. Lord, we trust you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The third category, you're still sensing that the good shepherd wants you to step in deeper ways. Like you've been coming to this church, like Sue and I came for a year and a half, and then we just were prompted to be members because there's covering, there's authority, there's safety when you join a local church. So some of you, you're like, I've been waiting. Don't wait any longer. Join the fellowship. It's not a perfect church. Let me tell you, it's not a perfect church. How do I know that? Because you're here. And I'm here. Maybe some of you need to get baptized. Maybe some of you need to join a missional community. Maybe you need to show up for Faith Works. Pitch in. We all have chores to do, and God wants to use you and your gifts. So maybe that's you. If that's you, would you stand up? You just know you need to get nudged. You need to make a commitment to get more involved, not out of guilt. Because you get to do this. I get to do this? I don't have to do this. Get to do this. Thank you. Thank you. And please see the leaders. See the elders. go to Connections. Let's talk about next steps for you. Let me pray for you. Father God, sometimes we're so hesitant because we think we don't have anything to offer, and yet we're the body of Christ, and you enable us with skills and gifts. Would you use these men and women that stood and guide them in their next steps, whatever that may be? Bless them, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the fourth category, so there's still hope for you. It's that you've been hearing about this Jesus that we talk about, and you're unsure. Maybe you've been coming here, maybe it's your first time, and you're like, I don't know about this Jesus. I don't know about this Christianity. You know, right now, Christians don't have a good reputation. But you're here. You don't have to stand. I want to tell you how blessed we are. What an honor it is. We want you to come back because this is a journey. And I really believe that some of you have made some decisions this morning, but you're reserved. And you'll come back next week and like, man, I want to hear again. So let me pray for you. We're all going to stand because we're going to sing this song. Father God, thank you that your will is good and perfect. Help us to submit to you this week. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.